Our scripture for today comes from Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus in the 6th chapter, reading verses 10 through 20. Hear the word of the Lord. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power. Put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against the enemies of flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand on that evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand therefore and fasten the belt of truth around your waist and put on the breastplate of righteousness. As shoes for your feet, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. With all of these, take the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times, in every prayer and supplication. To that end, keep a look and always persevere in supplication for all the saints. Pray also for me that when I speak, a message may be given to me to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it boldly as I must speak. May God bless this reading and hearing of this, his holy word. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for this day. And at this moment, Lord, help us to set aside the cares of the week. Help us to open our minds, our hearts, and our souls up. And may everything that is spoke, heard, and understood be pleasing to you. For we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. So our scripture this morning comes from the end of Paul's letter to Ephesus. And throughout Ephesians, he has been advising the church on what it should look like and how Christians should behave. Paul knows that there are struggles ahead for the church, and he wants to make sure that people understand what is coming and how to deal with it. You see, at the time that this was written, the people put a lot of stock, so to speak, into there being demons, devils, and evil spirits. These evil entities were in the air all around them, determined to cause them harm, to say the wrong things, to cause strife among the people. To Paul, the world was a spiritual battlefield, and Christians needed to contend with these spiritual attacks as long as the physical attacks that they were subject to for simply being Christian. Paul knew that there were evil forces in the world that were fighting against God, and these spirits, these evil forces, were trying to distract people away from God and his will for their lives. So Paul tells them how to combat these forces of chaos and evil. So in verse 10, he says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power. He is giving people, both at the church in Ephesus and us today, he is telling us all he's giving us encouragement to fight against what would lead us astray. 11, put on the whole armor of God so that you may not so that you will be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Excuse me. He's talking about the thing protecting ourselves against the things that go bump in the night. He is saying that our contention is not with people and is not with other cultures, but against that which would lead us astray. And he encourages us to put on the armor of God to be able to resist that which seeks to destroy us. Oh, skip some verses, that's okay. Paul, if you look at, in verse 12, it's not against the enemies of blood and spirit, but against rulers, authorities, cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil. Put on the armor of God so that you can contend with this. Now, in verse 13, he starts off, stand therefore and fasten the belt of truth around your waist. Now, a belt for a soldier served a couple of different purposes. Number one, it held his tunic in place. It was also where a soldier's sword would be hung, and also pouches for other things. Perhaps he used a slingshot as well, and he had a pouch for his slingshot and his rocks. Now, having this belt on meant that the soldier had greater freedom of movement, because number one, his tunic is not going to be flying all over the place when he moves. Number two, he can have his hands free, doesn't have to be carrying that sword and whatever else that he is able to take and move. Having on our belt of truth, knowing the truth about God and Jesus, allows us to have that freedom of movement when a situation comes up, and we can take and respond to it quickly. Situations big and small, we've got that freedom of movement. Because having that belt of truth, knowing the truth, we don't need to guess about the right way to proceed. It will be evident to us. And put on the breastplate of righteousness. The word righteousness means right living. And when we are accused of any wrongdoing, a righteous life is the best defense. When Plato was accused of crime and of sin, he responded, "Well then, we must live in such a way as to prove that these accusations are a lie." The best way to debunk the lies that are told about us individually as Christians and about the Christian life is to know just how good that Christian life is. And living that good Christian life not only helps us to defend against accusations, but it is also an important tool to show other people how good that life in Christ is. As shoes for your feet, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. Now, in the time of Christ, shoes were removed upon entering a home. There was usually a basin of water or something that you could take and wash the dust off from your feet. If you had any kind of shoes on, it was a sign that you were ready to get going and do things that needed to be done, go to the market, go to the synagogue, go to visit other people. So we should be able, to the best of our ability, to be ready to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. One of my favorite sayings that has been attributed to a couple of different people is, preach the word of God, and if necessary, use words. So our shoes of the gospel help us and are a sign that we are ready to get going. In 16, with all of these, take the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Now, the shield that Paul is talking about here is not one of these little round shields that you may have seen, in the movie Braveheart or other things like that. These are large shields that would cover a majority of the body. One of the most dangerous weapons of the time was the fury dart. It was dipped in tar, it was lit, and it was thrown. If it hit you, it could badly burn you, or it could also take and set your clothes on fire, which is not a very good thing to happen in the middle of a battle. So having that large wooden shield, the dart would impact the shield and would go in deep, and it would quench that flame that was on there and reduce the possible harm that could come of it. Our faith, having the shield of faith, having faith, allows us to deal with all of the temptations that would cause us to veer from God's path. And let's face it, there is a lot of temptation out there in the world. Temptation to drink, to smoke, to do drugs, to engage in activities that really are not good. Faith to Paul is a close personal relationship with Christ. The greater our faith, the closer our walk will be with Jesus, and we will be better protected from the darts that come from temptation. Take the helmet of salvation. Salvation does not mean only looking back, and not only covers the sins in the past. Salvation covers the sins that come up in our daily lives, and having that salvation, having that close walk with Jesus, gives us the strength to handle the future attacks that come at us. Because we have been forgiven, because we have been studied, we have studied the Word, we are better able to handle when those temptations crop up again. Jesus never says it is going to be easy, but we have, because of our salvation, the ability to resist the temptations. Salvation helps us to learn from our past mistakes so we don't make them again in the future, or we don't get into a similar situation. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The Word of God is simultaneously an offensive and a defensive weapon. We use it to defend ourselves from that which would cause us to sin and to stumble. We also use it to attack the sins and the wrongs being done in the world. And again, there's a lot of those things out there, my friends. The better a soldier knew how to use his sword, the better they would be in battle. The better we know our Bible, the better that we are able to use it against the sin in our own lives and the sin in the lives of those of us. In 18, Paul says, pray in the Spirit at all times and in every prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert and always persevere in supplication for all of the saints. The greatest thing, the greatest part of the armor of God is prayer. In battle, communication between the front line units and communication between those units and communication with the command post is vital. Forward units need to know where they are to go and what could be expected when they get there. If a situation becomes overwhelming, the units could take and they could call in backup. When the situations in our lives are overwhelming, we need to communicate with the command post, to God. We need to constantly be in contact with God. This includes actively praying. Both the big prayers, I say a big prayer in the morning, the little 10-second prayers that I raise up during the day. Thank you, Lord, that I've got a good job. Thank you that I have a good family. And lately, thank God that I have air conditioning. Being in constant contact with God also means listening for when God has instructions for us. You know, those little things that God sets in your path, or sometimes you see a certain situation and God says, I want you to go do something for me. Paul said three things about prayer. It must be consistent. It needs to be a part of our daily lives. It doesn't necessarily mean that you have to have a long prayer. You don't have to have flowery language, and there are no magic words that you need to take and pray. Pray how you want to pray. Use the words that you want to. If you just want to have a conversation with God, have a conversation with God. What did we talk about this morning, Tim? Friendship with God. Friendship with God. God's not this big, deity that we need to be bowing down before. God is a friend. Prayer should not only be in times of crisis. Prayer needs to be continual. Again, yeah, you're going to have some longer prayers, but if you're sitting in traffic or whatnot, praise God. Thank Him for what you have. From daily prayer comes our strength and the guidance that we need. Prayer needs to be focused. It needs to be conscience. Prayer must not be just a bunch of half-hearted words or simply ritually saying words that have been used in certain circumstances. Prayer must be unselfish. Prayer is not only about ourselves, but also our friends, our family, our community, our world, our enemies. In verse 19, Paul asks for prayers for himself. He doesn't ask people to pray for his comfort. He does not ask for them to pray that he would be released from chains or that his burden would be lessened. He asks for prayers that he would be an effective spreader of the good news of Jesus. The good news that the love of God is for all people. Not just someone that's living clean. God's love is for all people. This translates to us today as to praying for the preachers, the teachers, those who hold office all around the world. We need to lift all of these people up in our prayers. The armor of God, this passage, I think, fits well into what we talked about over Lent with being busy. We need to go to our prayer chairs on a daily basis, and I hope everybody has been keeping up on that. We need to converse with God. We need to have times during the day that we read a little bit of scripture, and most importantly, we need to listen to what God has to say to us. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power. Put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. But those that have ears, hear. Amen.